Okay, normally, when these two guys are, come into the room, a few years ago, I was deputy bailiff at the Justice Center. My role was to announce their presence. Not sure if I can still do it, Judge Cutoff, but I think it was. All rise. Christian County District Court is now in session. Honorable Judge Foster Cutoff or John Lindsay Adams presiding. All ye with pleas to be made and causes to be heard. Draw nigh. Conduct yourself accordingly. God bless the Christian County District Court and God bless the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And that ain't bad for somebody with a lot of gray hair.
Reduce the average age of our bailiffs if you came back. So,
yes.
Honestly, 5 years.
Yes, it probably would. But they don't have the same sense of humor I do, except for John Sly. Okay, I think Paige is going to do the introduction for us. She has something written on all these guys. There was a real good joke I was going to tell, but given the esteemed guests that we have, we probably shouldn't do that, should we? You can tell it.
It's your show, Terry. It's your world. We're just all living in it. All right. Well, I have the privilege to introduce two of my friends and colleagues, and I'll start with Judge Jay Foster Cutoff. He's a district judge for Division II for Christian County in Hopkinsville, where he has served since his election in 2014. He is a graduate of Center College in 1996 and the University of Kentucky College of Law in 1999. He began his legal career as an assistant attorney general, Commonwealth of Kentucky, in the criminal appellate division before moving home to Hopkinsville to join the firm of Fletcher, Cutoff, Willen, and Redd. He subsequently joined the private firm of Cutoff and Willen, where he practiced from 2002 to 2014. He recently served a two-year term from 2019 to 2021 as the president of the Kentucky District Judges Association. He serves as a member of the DJA's Legislative and Judicial Education Committees. He is also a member of statewide committees dealing with pretrial release services, civil law reform, RESTORE, which is responsive education to support treatment and opioid recovery efforts, and search warrant reform. He is a 2019 graduate of the National Judicial College's Leadership for Judges program in Reno, Nevada. He currently presides as the Veterans Treatment Court Judge in Christian County District and Circuit Courts and serves as the Vice Chief Regional Judge for the 20 counties in the Purchase Region. He's married to April Cutoff, a physical therapist at Jenny Stewart Medical Center, and they reside in Hopkinsville. They have three children, Jackson, who is 20, Sam, who is 17, and Evelyn, who is 16. He and his family are members at First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Hopkinsville, Kentucky. His hobbies include exercising, keeping up with the kids' activities, and watching his Kentucky Wildcats, Tennessee Titans, and St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. All right, and now our District Judge John Lindsay Adams. He was born, raised, and returned to Hopkinsville, Kentucky after graduating from the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture and then the University of Kentucky College of Law. He participated in the private practice of law and was Assistant Christian County Attorney from 2003 until being elected to the bench in 2018. He is married to Melissa Adams, and they have three children, Mary Thompson, a senior at University of Kentucky, Chandler, a sophomore at Western Kentucky University, and Will, a sophomore at Hopkinsville High School. The Adams reside on the family farm with many dogs, cats, and chickens. So if you will please give a warm Kiwanis welcome to both District Judge John Lindsay Adams and District Judge Foster Cutoff.
I probably have told Terry this story before, but one of my first jobs in Frankfort was at the administrative office of the courts, and I had to go through and identify judges and update the book with who they were, the pictures, and the like. There was a judge from Eastern Kentucky named F. Bird Hogg. It's a great name to start with. But F. Bird Hogg would do his own opening when he came into court. The bailiffs did not do it. And he'd come in with his robe on, and as he'd come in, he'd say, "Shut up, sit down, and hold on." We thought about trying that. But this is very much like jury orientation.
It is. It is. Thank you for the warm welcome. That was very kind. And we really appreciate you guys having us here and feeding us. We like food.
We like that.
So, as Paige said, we are your district court judges, colloquially referred to as the downstairs judges. If you ever come to the Justice Center for court, We reside on the first floor. Your circuit court and family court judges reside on the second floor. We like to think our floor is better.
The fun floor.
The fun floor. That's exactly right. Judge Self came and spoke to you guys, right? He's one of our esteemed circuit court judges. And just real briefly, there's a slight difference in our courts. We kind of do the same thing, but it had a little different jurisdictional limits. We are the court of limited jurisdiction, which makes us sound like peons, I guess. But it's where 90% of people come to court. If you're going to come to court, more than likely you're going to come to district court. We do a lot of different things, wear a lot of different hats. We do civil cases, which is you suing somebody else for some money. If it's $5,000 or less in value, if it's over $5,000, it goes upstairs to circuit court. We do probate matters. Someone passes away and had a will, and you have to probate their estate and take care of everything, administer it. Those cases start with us, unless there's a will contest, and that goes upstairs, and we don't have to fool with that. Evictions, when landlords want a tenant to leave for one reason or the other, non-payment, violation of lease has expired, whatever, and the tenant won't leave. They come to us and ask for an eviction, so we do that. Small claims cases, we like to call that Judge Judy Court. You file a lawsuit against somebody else. You typically don't have attorneys involved. It's person X versus person Y. It's less than $2,500, and they just can't get along, and they're looking for one of us to make a decision about it. Those are interesting, to say the least.
To say the least.
We both do criminal dockets. We have rather large criminal dockets here in Christian County. We have jurisdiction to put somebody in the county jail for up to 12 months on a misdemeanor only. So your possession of marijuanas, your bad checks, your thefts, your spousal or domestic abuse cases that are misdemeanors. We have trials on that. I had a DUI trial yesterday. First jury trial I've had in a while. But murder cases, felony cases can start in our court, but they end up going through the grand jury and end up in circuit court. So they get arrested, say, tonight. They'll come see me in the morning for their first appearance or arraignment, and then we'll kind of start the process for them. We both have traffic court dockets. I do guardianship matters, which is when a loved one of yours, usually somebody who's older, sometimes it's a child who just turned 18 with severe illness or infirmary where they cannot take care of themselves. They can't take care of their money, can't take care of their person. They need somebody to do that for them. And once they hit 18 or say, once grandma hits 93 or something like that and can't deal with her stuff anymore, their child will come in and ask for guardianship so they can have a legal court order to take care of all of their business. And that's very appropriate in most circumstances. So we do that. I'm going to let Judge Adams tell you about his juvenile court.
I am responsible for our juvenile court docket on Tuesday afternoons. The juvenile process, I spoke recently to Focus 21st Century about this. It's a mystery to most, and a big part of that is because it's confidential. But we have a number of young people who come through there, and some of that is genuinely the worst of the worst. Now, we move a lot of them through gun-related offenses, if they certify them as youthful offenders, and then they go to the grand jury. If the grand jury agrees with that determination, then they'll go into circuit court and be treated as an adult. But we also have, as part of that, our juvenile drug court, which was Judge Adams was a big part of the other Judge Adams, the old Judge Adams, let's say that, was responsible for such a big part of that. But working with each of those children, I have six right now in juvenile drug court, and most of them I see every week. We are in constant contact with Gary Kraft and Megan Dunn about these young people and what's going on in their worlds. And you really do. I like them all. I love so many of them. You can't keep them with you 24/7, but we try to work them through our program, which takes about a year. And then we graduated some, which is a happy time. And then some we don't. And then some of them we graduate by just they turn 18 and we see them in district court because they've graduated to a different court. But at any rate, it's been an eye-opening experience, heartfelt in a lot of respects. with what we see, and because it's, you know, it's not just the kids, it's the families. But privileged to work in that respect. The other thing that I do that has a carryover there is our truancy court that at this point meets every other month. And I just signed 25 summonses for parents who don't get keep their kids in school. And you get to develop those relationships as well. And a lot of those kids have stuff going on in juvenile court. So I try to put those files together. I don't need to come to court 1,000 times. But getting everybody focused, because it's never just the child that you're dealing with in that circumstance. And then recently started our local city ordinance docket that has to do with people not, their dogs running at large, animals not being vaccinated. And I'll back up and say this, because I want to tell you first about the Judge Judy court and the small claims. So Pete McDonald, if he were here, would tell the story about the guy that bought a cow from somebody else. And he was upset because after he had the cow slaughtered and processed, he cooked it and the meat was tough. And so he sued the guy in small claims court. And when they got there and they sat down, and this was in the old Hall of Justice, the guy sat his briefcase carefully on counsel table and opened it up, and he brought a steak that he cooked for Judge McDonald to try just to see how tough the meat was. That's a lot of what you see in there. But I'll say this in all sincerity. It's important to them, and that's one of the first things we have to recognize. That is, it's critical to them, both sides on that. It's the same thing sometimes with somebody with something as simple as a parking, you know, not a parking ticket, but a speeding ticket. They're upset about it. And we have to start by recognizing that. And that's the Johnny Adams story, Kwanian. And I was in Key Club too, by the way. But, you know, I was upset one afternoon. I practiced all day and I went out to the farm and I said, you know, Daddy, everybody thinks that theirs is the worst case and the most important in the world. He said, it's your job to convince them they're right. Because they are. And we have to recognize that. And there are some very funny and human things that go on, and there's some very tragic things that move through our courts. You have Judge Cutoff has insurance monitoring this afternoon.
This afternoon.
And we have Spanish court next Thursday afternoon.
Insurance monitoring court is babysitting court for people who drive without insurance. It's a program that the county attorney does. If you get stopped on, got stopped on April 1st for speeding and you did not have insurance, for some, we're driving without it, but you went and got it on the 10th. So when you came to court the next time, you said, I've got it now. And I'm like, well, that's great. You're still technically guilty, right? And on a second offense, no insurance, you lose your license for a year. It's really harsh. So the county attorney's office years ago started this program. These people pay $25 a month to a local business who monitors it. They show proof that they paid their insurance premium for that month, and they get a check for that month. And if they get 6 or 12 checks, depending on their charge, first or second offense, we dismiss it. So it's a way for them to work off some bad behavior, so to speak. I said, you win because your charges get dismissed. I win because if you T-bone my minivan, somebody's going to pay for it.
If they do it before the third Thursday of
they
each
don't even
month,
have to come
they don't
to
have
court.
To go to court.
Like, I had 160-something people on my docket as of 2 days ago. It's down to, like, 112. And when we get to court, there will literally be 10 people there, if that, because most of them went this morning on the last possible minute to pay and show proof. And then I'll have people show up to court with their money in their hand, and I'm going to say, you screwed up. You're supposed to do that beforehand. I don't take your money. And so I'll yell at them a little bit about that. But it's great. It's a good thing. Another thing I do that I really enjoy is our Veterans Treatment Court. Judge Adams talked about juvenile drug court. There are specialty courts all across Kentucky. You've heard about adult drug court. Judge Self and Judge Atkins do that in circuit court. And that's a several-month, if not multi-year process where people are tested and receive counseling, and they go to court and see judges, and they're held accountable. And if they complete, lots of good things happen for them. We also have a Veterans Treatment Court that Judge Self and Judge Jim Adams started years ago, and now I have the privilege of handling that court, and it's for people charged with felonies and misdemeanors. And they can be active duty, they can be retired, they could have been in the, I had a guy who was in the Army all of about 3 days at basic training, but he had signed the right form and had the right card, so he qualified for Veterans Treatment Court. And it's a specialty court, but it's not just for people with drug problems. It's for people who had PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, being overseas, things like that. And then they came back and they did something they shouldn't have. And so we have people from the VA in Murfreesboro come up and work with these folks. And over 15 to 18 months, we try to kind of right that wrong. And at the end of the day, it works out for them. So it's a specialty court, but it's not just for people with drug problems. It's for veterans only. There's not too many of them in Kentucky. We, obviously, with Fort Campbell nearby, we need one. There's one in Hardin County near Fort Knox. Jefferson County has one. I think there's one in Northern Kentucky and one in Fayette County. But there's not very many. But we do try to take care of our veterans. They don't totally get a pass on everything, but we take into account what they volunteered to do and what they've gone through. So I really enjoy doing that. They're a bunch of good guys. I have a lot of guys right now charged with DUI at a district court. And I just kind of make fun of them all the time. They're young, they're stupid, and they did something silly. And
relationships.
Yeah, I mean, they like me, I like them, but I'm going to make fun of them if their sports team loses. I'm also going to possibly put them in jail if they drink when they're not supposed to. So, I mean, it's like that. And they know that because I'm very upfront with them. I have one rule, don't BS me. If you do something stupid, you shouldn't lie to me because I'm going to find out, because they get tested 2 times a week typically. For drugs and alcohol. And I always tell them that alcohol test, you know, if you took a breathalyzer, if you got drunk on Friday, you could take a breathalyzer Saturday afternoon and blow zeros, right? It's going to dissipate from your system. These ETG alcohol tests they do, I mean, it catches it for 3 or 4 days. So you're going to get caught. So just don't lie to me. If you messed up, just tell me. We'll fix it. We'll work on it. But I really enjoy that. So we like our jobs. Our jobs are great. We like people. I mean, I had traffic court this morning. I just banter back and forth with folks. My favorite time is when the prosecutor's done and he leaves, and I can just do what I want. All right, we're going to talk. You get a lot of teenagers with their parents in there because the law is if you're under 18, you get a speeding ticket, you have to come to court with a parent or guardian, okay? And then so you got a PO'd parent who's missing work, not wanting to be there, worried that their child's ticket's going to make their insurance go through the roof, just madder and all get out at them. They're mad they had to be there. They're mad that their name starts with a W and they had to wait 2 hours. I mean, so they want us to fuss at their kids a little bit, and I really kind of enjoy it. But then you have to bring it back. I'm like, I've got a 20 and an 18-year-old almost and a 16-year-old. I've got 3 drivers, one with a permit who won't drive because she's scared of it, and then 2 who like to drive a lot. I'm like, I get it, but if one of them got a ticket, I'd lose my mind. So why don't you just not get a ticket for the next few months? Show me you can drive like a normal person, and then this will go away, and this will be your one. Everybody gets one, right? So, but it's a good thing that they have to come to court, I think.
It is, and we, again, relationships. A lot of times we know the parents and the kids, and I'll say as they come, you know, a lot of times the kid will get up and come up to the exit that everybody stands on, and I'll say, no, you get to come too, and the parent gets to come up, parent or guardian gets to come up with them, and so I'll say to the child, is this your attorney? And they, you know, we kind of break the ice there, but it's, you know, sometimes we want them to bring their diploma. Let's, you know, confirm that they have graduated. What are they going to do after they get out of school? And we have that conversation about, you know, who pays that insurance? Well, mom does, or dad does, or my stepdad does. Doesn't matter. You don't. And even if you did, you know what's going to happen to your rates? If you were to plead guilty or be found guilty, they're going to go through the roof. So it's, we work them through it.
I have a graduation docket on my traffic docket the first Thursday in June. I make all these high school seniors come back with their diploma and with a clean driving record for the 4 to 8 months or whatever it is until we get there. And I always take my phone out there and play the graduation song for them and make them line up and come up with their diploma. And where'd you graduate from? What are you going to do next? You remember back on Christmas when you were going to Granny's doing 102 and a 70? You remember that? You know, we have a little fun with it. But court should not be scary. You see people up there and they're freaking out. I mean, they're charged with what we think is nothing. It's a nothing charge. I mean, yes, it's bad. They shouldn't have done it, but it's really not the worst thing. Kill anybody. They're not going to prison or anything like that. And they're like, calm down. Take a breath. We're all going to get through this. We'll get through it together. So what we do is very rewarding.
It is.
And we're very privileged that the citizens have put us in these offices to do that. And it's allowed me to do a lot of things statewide, and I really enjoy that. And I know Judge Adams does things statewide with our association, and We get to go to Frankfurt and go to legislative committee meetings and talk to legislators and try to tell them how they're wrong about what they're trying to do. And
because that works so well.
Every now and then they might even listen to us. So they're like, you know, you're really going to mess up my court if you pass that. I know it sounds great, but let me tell you why it's wrong. And sometimes they do. But it's great. I will say this is an election year. We are both on the ballot. You can vote for us if you want. You don't have to. Our mamas are going to vote for us, so we're going to win because nobody's running against us.
That's important.
But we would like to think you feel good enough about the work we're doing that you would go down and bubble our name anyway. We have just a side bet between us about who gets the most votes. So
we got 11 more votes than I did.
Last time. Yeah. See. Winner. Anyway. We're great. We've got 5 judges in our Justice Center. I don't know if you guys read the news. We're going to get a 6th judge in Christian County, a new family court judge. There's going to be an election in November for a newly created position. Judge Fleming's case numbers were such that they determined that we needed another judge. So you will now have 6 judges starting in January who will be servicing the citizens' legal issues. So,
and that means that there will be a 6th person that can be added into the on-call rotation, which we trade weekly. I'm on call right now.
I go on call tomorrow. We do that a week at a time. That's the 24/7. They wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you to sign stuff. I've got a search warrant. I've got a mental health warrant. There's a domestic violence petition that needs to be looked at. So there is a judge on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So we do rotate that every 5th week because we have 5 judges. We're very fortunate here, and I don't brag on our circuit judges much, but they take call. In most counties, circuit judges do not take call. I'd say every other county but Christian County, they just refuse, and it's the district judge's job. We've got friends who have 3 counties, and they're the only judge for 3 counties, and they're on call every day of the year.
24/7.
So you go to Florida, you're getting woke up. You go wherever, you're getting woke up. So, but that's an important thing. I mean, if they're processing a murder scene in the middle of the night, they need a search warrant. And if somebody has been a victim of domestic violence and they go to sanctuary, they need that protection right then. They don't need to wait till 8 a.m. when I'm fresh as a daisy. They need it then. We used to have people, I live in the middle of town, and people would come to my house in the middle of the night. So, I mean, I lay my clothes out, get up, put my clothes on. I'm sure Judge Self's hair was probably perfect. I mean, but mine was not. I'd have my glasses on, my hair's all jacked up, and I'm just like, let me wake up enough to read this. And there's a cop in your dining room, and you're swearing them in, and you're signing it. And now we do pretty much everything electronically by phone. They email it to us. And some things I can just lean over and go right back to bed. So, but it's good. It's a good thing.
Let me say, along those lines, 2 things. One, I want to talk about the cooperation that I have in juvenile court, truancy court, for that matter, and criminal court sometimes as well, with the local school system. Most counties don't have that as well, but there's always somebody from the Board of Education in my courts. And the young lady that was in court on Tuesday afternoon, who came in with her mother and her father, who was an over-the-road truck driver, but she was charged with being a habitual truant. And her mother was very angry at having had to come to court because she came on March the 30th and was told she had to come back on March the 31st. And on March the 31st, when I had truancy court, she was continued to this past Tuesday afternoon. And then I had said, as I always do, if your child has some involvement with the court-designated worker's office, that's important to know. And so she says, I've got that documentation. I don't understand why I have to be here. And this doesn't make any sense. And I've got a job. And I said, excuse me just 1 second. And I am phenomenally polite. And I said to Kim Stevenson, can I see the educational report? And she brought it to me, and I looked down there. And I saw that this child had missed Monday, didn't go to school on Monday, didn't go on Friday before, the Thursday before. The child had 125.5 days of unexcused absences. And so, you know, from my perspective, and I said, well, I can tell you why the hell you're in court. And I said, you want to come back every day? Because that's something that we could facilitate. But ultimately, we worked our way through it. And I told her as well that, you know, it wasn't like we'd have to wait until March the 18th when we were going to come back for me to find out if that child was in school, because Kim Stevenson would have texted me the next morning if that child was not. And I want to compliment that, because we have a memorandum of understanding, school to justice partnership, and a big part of that design is to keep kids out of the system. This one, I'm glad, was in the system. But the other thing that's important to note is I'm very much a system person, and I enjoy working with everybody. I really do. Things like starting a local city ordinance court and not telling the clerk, that's not a smart thing to do. So I apologize to Paige for having done that. I just wanted to get in that court, but at the animal court. But it's important for you all to be aware and know that we've come through a phenomenal period of time these past 2 years, and we didn't miss a lick. We worked together, and we worked together well. And that, you know, that's Paige working with us and all the people that work with Paige and our bailiffs. And, you know, the only thing we were slow on would have been jury trials.
And we couldn't do them.
But we kept everything else running. And we have counterparts in other counties that had huge caseloads because they just kind of shut it down. We didn't. And I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the effort that we made as a collective group.
We are still operating some Zoom court. We keep our Zoom links up. But most defendants or litigants are showing up to court now. I think everybody's kind of getting back to normal, but I mean, that's for out of town people or people who are sick. Media, y'all get on there all the time.
Thank you.
It's a good time, isn't it? You should come back. I wear ties for y'all every now and again. But Zoom court was fun. It's like, you're not muted. I heard you cuss me there when we were done. Click, remove. I mean, just they got off. Are you on the toilet, sir? Yes. Okay. Can you turn your video off until you're off the toilet? That would be great.
Please put some clothes on.
Yeah, I mean, I had to say that every day. If your video's on, you need to be clothed. If I can see it, it needs to have clothes on. Like you. I mean, it's just basic stuff. But people get home, they're home in bed. They're very comfortable. I was like, you need to be upright. Do not lay down. You need to be up. I mean, come on. We got a little lazy there. Everybody got a little lazy, a little comfortable. But we're past that. We're past that. I'm going to say this. I'm smart enough to not do anything without talking to Paige first. I don't need her mad at me. Paige worked with me in district court for a few years before she got the clerk's job, and she'd worked down there forever. So Paige knew everything. So Paige taught me everything I know how to do. So I appreciate that. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah.
If you get jury duty, show up. All right, that's basically it, all right? Don't try to get out of it. I'm the guy who excuses you or not. I've seen all the excuses. You're going to be surprised what people will put down. I have spastic diarrhea. I mean, seriously. I've got a medical excuse that says I'm going to poop myself if I'm sitting in that jury box for more than 10 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't judge people. I'm so-and-so religion, and it's against my religion to sit in judgment of anybody. I'll go to hell. I mean... Like, what do you say to people when they say that? So really, what do I do for a living? I mean, you think I'm bad?
Come on in. We got to talk some more because you got to have that. But real quick, let me say this: our jury pool, we call them in for 2 months. Every 2 months, they'll sit with us. We do jury orientation together, like this, Abbott and Costello, and it's fun. I always look forward to it. Downstairs, we have six persons that in the box.
Six.
We'll pull 12 and whittle it down to six now with the help of automation. We don't use the bingo machine anymore, unless we have to. At one time, we did have to. But, you know, and we do. We get the questions all the time. Well, can you get me out of jury duty? Well, you know, first thing you do, you fill out your form and send it in. But then beyond that, give me a reason. Because, you know, more often than not, if you do it, you find out you kind of like it. It's pretty interesting.
And if you do it and you finish, you don't get called back for at least 24 months. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're good for 2 years. So you can only serve every 24 months. State jury duty. As I told people yesterday, if you get a federal jury summons, you're screwed. All right?
Yeah, no, but wait, try
to get out of that.
Wait, you might. But Chandler is at Western, and Chandler got selected for federal jury duty. And she's blowing me up going, can you get me out of this? I said, wait a minute, hold on a second. I'm going to call you back. So I figured out because, you know, we get $12.50 a day. Might be able to get lunch on here, but it's like 37
plus mileage.
And I said, Chandler, if you get called, you're gonna make about $220 a day. She's like, I'll leave my name in there. So there's that. Yes, sir.
Just a question to one of the judges. Your case law, most people don't realize how large it is. If you can tell how many cases you see a week.
Well, like my docket this morning had 80 or 90 people on it, and my insurance docket has 100 and something people on it today. A typical docket's anywhere from 80 to 120 people, mm-hmm, somewhere per day.
Yeah.
We see a lot of folks.
We do.
And a lot of these people are coming back for things. It's not that many new cases every time, but there's no shortage of cases. They make more.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Kind of. I mean, because people had, you know, I couldn't get there to do this. I couldn't get there to do that. And so I let my insurance lapse. You know, I was laid off. I didn't have any money for my insurance. Thing with traffic court is I always say, you know, I got people in here without a license driving cars without insurance or without registration. That's the trifecta of bad driving as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we'll give them time. Go get your license. We'll drop that charge. I just need you to drive legally. I'm going to give you time. So if I give you time, take advantage of the time.
And don't come back charged again.
And say, oh, I'm sorry. I had a guy today, his third one. He had two pending, got a third one. He's like, I can't get my license until 2 weeks. I'm like, well, you drove 2 months ago, moron. What are you doing?
I know.
I mean, I told you not to drive. You're already charged twice. You're going to go to jail. You could lose your license now for 2 years. Just get your...
Yep.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Does Judge Fleming...
Yes.
Right, well, I mean, you know, in that respect, we would all foreseeably, if a child or children are removed, that's going to, you know, typically come to us, whoever's on call.
So you guys sometimes get
We do removal orders, yes.
Yes.
But they go to his court.
So you do senior and juvenile.
We don't see that much senior.
No, if there's an adult protective services case, so somebody's being exploited, somebody's being abused, that's typically going to go through the criminal process. Or if that person needs a guardian because somebody is being taken advantage of, then somebody else will come and apply for a guardianship, and then we can give legal authority to a legitimate person who's going to take care of that abused or exploited person. So, yeah, we do see that stuff, but a lot of elder abuse is criminal related. So. Drive.
Happened yesterday.
Maura.
That young lady in front of me yesterday, two cases. She was charged with speeding more than 26 miles an hour over on April the 2nd, and then again on April the 4th. She didn't have insurance. I wasn't worried about that at that point. I said, ma'am, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get your license. You cannot come back in here charged again. And she walked out the door to the courthouse, got in her car, and the bailiff stopped, and they brought her back in, and she was in cuffs. And they took her on around. They were going to put her in a holding cell, and I couldn't just pass up that moment. I said, wait. And I said, what were you doing? What were you doing? Obviously, you weren't thinking. And she cried, and she told me she was sorry and wouldn't do it again. And I said, no, you won't, because you're not going anywhere until next Tuesday. And that's when I'll determine if, you know, if I'm going to sentence you to 180 days in jail or not, because it's just, it's fun.
I used to tell them, I said, these guys in the brown uniforms are waiting to arrest somebody. They're going to radio up front. Hey, the person in the blonde hair, purple shirt can't drive. Watch her. And as soon as they get in their car, they'd arrest them. I mean, it's just dumb. I'm like, come on, people. We'd have people would walk to the library.
Yeah.
And then they would walk back. And they would look and think, nobody's watching. And those bailiffs up front are just like this. They just can't wait. And as soon as they sit in that driver's seat, fire up, and they see brake lights, they're... Step outside the vehicle, person. We get cussed every now and again. That's always fun.
Yeah.
I've been called things I can't repeat in here, but it's pretty fun.
What did you two do before you became judges?
Well, as an attorney, I did criminal defense work, did civil stuff, domestic relations stuff, custody and divorce cases, and I'm so glad I don't do those anymore. But just pretty much everything. We're a small town law firm. You kind of take what comes in the door as long as you kind of know what you're doing.
I've practiced now for 812 years. I did a lot of criminal defense, and then in 2003 became assistant county attorney with Mike Foster, and spent 15 years there. Enjoyed that. Not as much as I enjoy this, but I did enjoy that too.
This is different than practicing law.
It is.
I was talking to somebody last night about the new family judge position. They were interested in it. And I was like, well, I don't miss practicing law. I'm going to tell you that right now. I like what I do. And it's not just some power trip because you get to make all the decisions. It's, you know, you've got to have this temperament where you can listen to everybody, and you can be fair, and you've got to You've got to come off as fair, and you've got to come off as nice, but you have to also come off as stern when you need to be. Because I always say I'm nice to everybody until I'm not, and if I'm not, it's because of something you did. I try not to go out there mad. I used to get hungry in court. I eat snacks a lot, and about 10:15 in the morning, I'm like, I'm taking a break for 10 minutes, and everybody goes, oh, man, because they need to get back to work. I'm like, you want me satiated, I promise. You don't need me mad up here, so I'm going to go eat my yogurt and my apple. I'll be right back. If somebody, say, does cuss you and you get frustrated, you got to take a breath, because you call that next name, they walk up there and their eyes are that big. They're like, oh, my gosh, Judge Adams is pissed off right now. He's really going to give it to me. I'm like, no, he's not. He's not mad at you. He was mad at the last person. So we can differentiate. So we have a lot of hats to play. Sometimes we're the adult babysitter. Sometimes we're the person who pats you on the back. Sometimes we have to be stern and play the parental role. And then sometimes we're, sorry, it is what it is. Your bond is, you're allegedly, you're charged with murder. You've admitted to shooting this person. It's your first appearance, and your mom's up here asking if she can sign you out of jail. The answer is no. Your bond is going to be $500,000, $1 million, whatever, because that person needs to stay in jail for a while.
Well, and typically the defense attorneys will say something like, waive this to the grand jury, but would like to address bond. Okay, so I'm going to give them an opportunity to make their arguments, however crazy those arguments may sound, because sometimes they're just doing their job. I understand that. And a lot of times before they even start, I really just want to say no, but I need to listen. That's my job to listen. And then after they get to speak, we'll let the Commonwealth respond, and they can make their arguments, and then we'll make a decision. But you need to hear from everybody.
That's one of the most important things we do on a daily basis, is bond decisions on people who were arrested the night before or that morning. So it's very important. I mean, if you were picked up on something.
Terry, confiscate her phone.
Yeah. That's what happens. If you were picked up on something, you'd want to be released pre-trial. You're presumed innocent, all that stuff. You've got a job. You've got a family. So we have to determine whether or not that person's dangerous, or whether or not that person's a risk of flight. And if we determine one of those things, we can put a cash bond on them and say, look, before you get out, you've got to post. I don't trust you to just let you out. Somebody's got to put up some money to let you out.
Or sign for you.
Or sign for
or
you.
Or pay for an ankle monitor. A number of things at our disposal.
But we make those decisions every day.
I guess as an attorney, you said you practice law. Now you are the law, aren't you?
That's what I tell my kids.
Does that work for you?
No.
Because it doesn't work for me.
And
the whole concept of sometimes, you're there making that decision. It's not like you can turn around and say, what do you think? It's your decision to make. So we do it.
It gets easier.
It does.
It gets easier.
Anyone else have any questions for our guest today?
I will say, if you find yourself with a free Wednesday morning, go watch Foster as a Judge.
He does Wednesday. I do Friday and Monday afternoon. I do Friday morning and Monday afternoon. I have a very bad poker face. If somebody says something really dumb, like this morning, I had a woman who just kept talking over me. She was in front of me, and I was like, ma'am. And she just kept interrupting me. I was like, ma'am, stop talking. You're not helping yourself. Will you please just stop? I mean, okay, we're good now. But I mean, sometimes, look, I enjoy my job, and I have a lot of emotions, and sometimes they come out. Our assistant has taken pictures through the pandemic of Zoom court of either people in their attire or lack thereof, or like their name. Sometimes people don't have their real names on their Zoom screen. Sometimes, like the first one, Big Kimberly. Big Kimberly. What's your name? I mean, I hate to say Big Kimberly, but that's what you got on the screen here. And then sometimes they have stuff you can't say out loud. Like, whoever that is, you need to change that right now or you're going to jail. But she took pictures of all this stuff, and a lot of them are me just sitting there looking up in the sky like, oh, my gosh.
So we watched a lot of ceiling fans on Zoom court. The people, I don't need you laying down in the bed. I'm going to need you to sit up. I don't need you to eat, might want a cigarette, but if you're still in court, act like it. Then you get frustrated. What you can do is you can put them in back in the waiting room. And then, though, I'm putting them in the waiting room, Aaron's letting them back in. Stop.
I had a woman in the beauty salon chair with tinfoil in her hair smoking a cigarette. I mean, it was fantastic. I couldn't look away. It was.
Yeah, I had a woman who was actually she logged on for her boyfriend, and because she's there with him, and they're screaming at each other, and an EPO had been entered and served, and they weren't supposed to be together, but they were together on Zoom. It didn't get any better than that. It's just classic. I'm like, oh, there's some good evidence.
The driving and Zooming is always great, yeah. Too. They're just rolling down the road with their phone there, with their video on. Hi.
Did you guys see Dwayne's book?
Oh. Truth is stranger than fiction.
It is.
Absolutely.
Every day.
I recall a time when Judge Cutoff's court when I was a bailiff, and he would have people rolling in the aisles with laughter, and he'd have parents with tears in their eyes. He almost had tears in my eyes as a bailiff. I had nothing to do with it. But he goes through that whole cycle of using his emotions to play on the emotions of the people in the courtroom. It's very entertaining, just as they are today.
Court is serious. I get that. And he's right. I mean, somebody may be out there with a speeding charge and a no insurance charge, but they may drive for a living. And that ticket may really affect their life. And I look at it as a speeding and no insurance. It's just a normal case. But to them, that is the most important thing in the world because that's going to affect their livelihood and they can't feed their family. And they've worried about this for weeks. And that's just the umpteenth case like that we've had this week. So you do have to take time and, you know, kind of convey some things to some people and be there with them. It's their journey, and we're just part of it. So sometimes you want to make it a little entertaining for folks because it's a little dry sometimes. Mm-hmm. It can be a little dry. That's why it's good when somebody cusses you. Everybody wakes up.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wakes up at that point. So somebody goes to jail.
Anyone else have any questions? We can stay longer.
I gotta go to court. But I appreciate it.
Thank you all very much. We've really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any announcements or comments that they want to make? If not, we'll be adjourned.
So I'm going to take maybe a minute by myself. It should be, I don't know.